we came into church, praying to you, singing to you, Lord, looking into your law, encouraging ourselves in the light of what is your desire, testifying to your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the presence of our Lord Jesus, who is where two or more are gathered in his name. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who works in our hearts to understand, to know. Thank you for this blessed day, Lord. Thank you for the prayers that have been said. Thank you for those that you have answered that we have not known to say. We worship you, Lord. We'll continually testify to your faithfulness. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we open your word and we look into it, that the purpose that you have determined in yourself will come to pass. That there will be liberty, there will be joy, there will be encouragement and freedom, there will be conviction in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We go stand up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. So this morning, I'd like us to open our Bibles to a few places. We'll start off with 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd just like us to read verse 9 together. First Peter chapter 2, we'll read verse 9 and 10 together. 1, 2, 3, let's read it together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. That is who we are when we are in Christ. And we bless the Lord for it. So this morning, in the past few days, I've been thinking about the times and seasons that we are in. And these are times and seasons, of course, where you can be so absorbed in many things that you forget who we really are or how God sees us. Or even when we do not forget, at times the times are so hard that we forget the promises of God. Quite fairly, at times just the reality of day-to-day living does not square with what the Bible just called us. Many times we don't feel like we are royal in priesthood. We look at the church in general, and I don't think the word holiness comes to mind at the current time. I don't know if every day you feel special and you deem it your life ambition to just proclaim the praise of him who has called you out of darkness. At times you are so besotted with trials that you don't even feel like you'd come out of darkness. You don't feel a marvelous light. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we are on this journey. And many times you really have to look into scriptures to look at the lives of people on a similar journey. This passage says in verse 9 that we are called out. Called out. Many are called, few are chosen. We are one of those who are called out for a purpose as a church. So, with this daily grind, I began to really meditate on the way God works. And I see a consistency when I look into scriptures with what may be going on with several individuals here who have given their lives to Jesus. And it's so tough to see the future. All you can really see are the daily events in your lives. But the Bible is filled with encouragement for us. I look at the life of a man like Stephen and something that he wrote. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 7. real quick. And Stephen gave a lecture in Acts that I think will help us to really understand, excuse me, how God operates so that we don't become discouraged. We can only see the Bible. I generally don't know how to title sermons, but I think the title this morning will be God Has a Plan, wherever that leads us. That God has a plan. Anybody who has spent any time in management classes, we know the clear difference between a strategy and a tactic. The daily grind, how you counter it, that's the tactic. Every daily grind. But there's a larger vision that is a strategy. God always has a strategy in our lives. And Stephen had this in mind. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 7. I'll start from verse 1. It says, then the high priest said, are these things so? So Stephen here was before people who were trying him in this Christian race. We all know how it ended for Stephen. Verse 2. They asked him, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Here Stephen was referring to Genesis chapter 12. If you read from verse 1, you will hear how God called Abraham from his father's name. His father was Terah, and I think he mentioned it here. Let's keep reading. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that will show you. I just want we to pause in a moment in time and ask where you are at this moment in your life. You've come a long way from kindergarten. You've come a long way from primary school. You have come, most of us, except those who are born here, I'm looking around, born here people, there are not many. You've come a long way from your home country, from your father's house. Many of you, where you thought you would be when you got on the plane is not where you are, but you were so sure about the promise of a better tomorrow, just in the physical, in the flesh. All of us experience what Stephen is talking about in this 7, just life. At some point, we are called physically, and of course, spiritually, we are all called to something by God. So Stephen is saying here that God called Abraham and he told him, you have to get out of your country just like we all got out of our countries with expectations in the flesh. But in the spirit, he told us to come out from our old lives, to come out from lives of corruption, to come out from that mindset that trusts in itself, to come out from the world system where the confidence is in what we do, what we know, where we trusted in the world system, in the sciences and the arts and the philosophies, you know, the natural place. He called us in Christ to come out to another place, a place where he will show us. When most of us gave our lives to Jesus, we had no idea what the journey would be like. But the promise in of itself has something compelling about it. When you hear the voice of the Lord saying, you must be born again, your sins will be washed away, I'll give you beautiful ashes, there's a joy that comes with it. After all, this was the voice of God calling us. And anybody who has witnessed salvation surely has witnessed the voice of Jesus speaking to him. So Stephen here, in persecution, chose this particular example and this particular sermon as he faced his persecutors. And I like us to ask why, of all that he could choose. He could tell the story of Jesus, but he went to Abraham. He said, God called him. He said, come out from every familiar thing that you know. I'm about to give you a brand new experience. Nobody in your family has to leave your family and your country behind. The same calling that Jesus is giving to us, saying, leave everything that you lean upon. Leave it behind and trust in me. Come. Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah says, I have the plan. I know the plan that I have towards you. It's of good and not of evil. And he was saying this to a people who were really devastated. So I don't want us to rush through it. I want you to think about it. God has a plan. At 7, he went on, he said, of course, when you hear the voice of God, you follow. Right, so Abraham knew who was speaking with him. Verse 4, then he came out of the land of Chaldeans, and he lived in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. So Stephen was speaking in retrospect. He was in Canaan, of course. He was telling them something that happened around Genesis 12. Said, our forefather, Terah, the father of Abraham, had three sons. He had Hermon, then he had Haran, and he had Abraham. Haran died. Haran, the brother of Abraham, died before his father, Terah. Haran was the father of Lot. So that's how come Lot became the guardian. Abraham became the guardian of Lot, and you find Abraham taking Lot everywhere. He was his nephew. But the first move was from all of the Chaldeans to Haran. The Lord had to call Abraham to move from Haran to Canaan, the promised land. Totally unfamiliar. Abraham believed. Verse 5. Stephen pointed out, he said, God gave Abraham no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. And I think that's a very important thing. Abraham had a divine voice like you and I had the divine voice of Jesus saying, come and be a Christian. Come and follow me. No longer trust on the world system. I have something better for you. And yet, you get to the land, you become the Christian, and he did not give you an inheritance, not even a foot. That wasn't supposed to be the plan. You told me you show me the land and I will own the land. Yet Stephen was sure to look this elder straight in the face and said, your father Abraham did not inherit squat. Because that seemed to me to be the tone of that voice. And Stephen was saying to them, God has a plan. If you only look at things momentarily, you will say that Abraham never inherited anything. But today his children live in the land. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. God has a plan. He was talking about Genesis chapter 15 here. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15 real quick. A mysterious thing happened in this passage that I'd like us to explore together. You know, at times, unless we dig into scriptures, we cannot really identify with it. I'll start reading from verse 1. This is the story that I was referring to. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Let me give a background to this. Abraham, of course, left his home, the familiar ground, and instead of a promise that he had met with problem, this was after he met with the king of Egypt, and that one tried to take his wife. All the wahala with Lot, infighting. So instead of a promise, instead of what he heard in Haran, he seemed to be getting problems and issues. What are you getting right now in your Christian walk? If we're going to be there, at times, I dare say that we're not really spiritually sincere enough. To be honest, I want to see the power of God. When there are no longer miracles in the church, we write it off to, oh no, the Lord does not do miracle anytime. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let me read what. After this, since the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, just like no matter where we are in our Christian walk, you know that we will always receive the word of God. He will come to you at the nick of time. If you are a Christian, you know that. He never abandons us. I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? The man had it. I heard your promises in the awe of Chaldean. Now you are making me yet another big promise. You told me you show me a land, I will inherit it. I've been moving. I moved from Beersheba to another place where they are now, to Shechem. From Shechem to Beersheba. I have not had a single square foot of landed property. And not only that, you told me I will be the father of all nations. I don't even have a child. And now you're appearing to me, I'm preaching another sermon, I'm making other promises. The God that appeared to Abraham was a real God. So Abraham asked him a real question. Abraham was not a religious man. He knew God. He did not get sold on a formula for being born again. God was present with him. Is God present with you? I want you to ask yourself that, and I want you to insist on an answer from the Father. There's nothing wrong, as you can see. He said, Lord, here's the reality. As of right now, I'm childless, and I want a child. You promised me a child. Say, I'm your exceedingly great reward and your shield. Say, yes, Lord, but I don't have a child. What will you give me? It's okay to ask. Children of God, it's about time we begin to ask for the splendor and the glory and the majesty of God. Let's discard theories. Theories cannot bring unbelievers to God. The house of the Paul says something. He said, I'm preaching to you so that your faith will not rest on the excellence of wisdom, but on the power of God. Where are the people who can go? Like that woman, was it the Shunammite woman? Who said, it is well. I want to see the, it is well. I must see the, it is. Said, well, wait now, what's, no. It is well. What's wrong with it is well? Until she got to the prophet. I challenge you to refuse all Christian theories. Insist on the glory and the power of God. Lord, what will you do for me? The same God who brought you out of the awe of Chaldeans, who got you born again, is with us. He's a miracle-working God. May the Lord continually validate our faith by his signs and wonders. Do not despise the signs and wonders of the Lord. I dare say that without the power of God, we cannot do ministry. Insist. The girls and I were going through, was it Luke 11, where the Lord said, gave the parable of the woman. He said, someone had a friend, had visitors, and went knocking on his friend's house doors. Hey, give me bread. I have guests. The stores are closed. Walmart has closed. I need bread. Wake up. Give me bread. And the Lord posed a hypothetical question. He said, look, even if this person will not give him bread because it's his friend, that's enough reason. He said, but for his persistence, he will give him bread. The Lord telling us, be persistent. Don't give up asking the Lord. And Abraham was persistent. He said, look, I've seen the vision. I've dreamed the dreams. You've told me this before, Lord, but what is your plan? Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, only one born in my house is my heir. And I'm not getting any younger. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, God has a plan. Barabumi stood there and gave, and that's what
That's the really annoying thing about testimony. Is it that because of the time limit? They don't give you the details. The way Barabumi told you, he just cruised through 2.5 years of no job and yes, and see me now. He did not tell you when he will cry. He did not tell you when he will pick his keys and there's nowhere to go. He did not tell you when he'll be restless when he looks at his bank account. He did not tell you maybe he's been spending into his savings and there's nothing there anymore. He did not tell you how grateful he was that he no longer had to pay tennis school fee every month. He did not tell you all of that. You know, they just give you the summary. May the Lord wipe our tears away. May he turn our sorrow into dancing again. You and I know that it's not that easy. You and I know. Let's not pretend anymore. You and I know. Shade, you know the grind. You know what it feels with all your smile to wake up. You know it's not easy to be a Christian. You know the miracles that you need. We do ourselves disservices if we only talk about the time of deliverance. But what is most useful to me is to learn about the pain, and that in spite of the pain, the deliverance will come. And I thank God for Abraham. He was quite honest. He was a man of faith, but he was afraid. He said, Lord, what are you? Yet another sermon. That's why most of us are tired of sermons. You've heard it before. He said, no, Lord, here's what's on my mind. This is what is really on my mind this morning. I will lift you up. I will praise you up forever. But I need a child. But God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. And I thank God because the Lord did not shut Abraham up. He brought him outside and he said, look, look, look to the heavens. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. I want all of us to read out verse 6. That's all he did. Frustration, consolation, and faith. How it's going to happen, he did not know. But he believed in the Lord and the Lord was pleased. You see, I think Paul wrote a lot about righteousness. Like, it's not a very big word, people. Righteousness has been confused with holiness and some other things. What our passage really says is God looked into the heart of Abraham at that moment, and Abraham really believed God and God was pleased with him. Was in right standing. His thoughts, his fears were now aligned with God. And God said, well done. Despite the fact that only Eliezer has son in your house, despite the fact that things are not going right, you've heard my voice and you've been comforted. There was no Isaac yet. Where you are this morning, God has a plan. Has he not promised he will never leave you nor forsake you? He has a plan. Do you believe it? Many people not believing it have gone to alternate plans. It is a Christian not being able to believe it and be counted as righteous in the sight of God that leads a Christian to take the advice of men, to go the popular road, to leave the narrow path. That's what Satan wants. And let's not forget that Abraham also took a lot of shortcuts. You know, he had a wife by his concubine. He did all of those things out of frustration, so that's not new. But the Lord comfort, put his hands on his shoulders and said, look up, old man. Count the stars in the sky. I tell you, every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord will come to pass. It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish. He said, behold, we will shine as stars. Behold, this morning, he will wipe away tears from every face. He said, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Believe in the Lord. God has a plan.
And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the all of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit, and yet not a square foot so far. And he said, Lord, how shall I know? He believed in the Lord, but he needed assurances about the tactics. And there are times when you know, Lord, I know you will deliver me, but please just comfort me for today. Just share some of the, how many of you have ever said to God, please just let me, just, okay, I know that it hasn't happened, but just show me a glimpse, because this weight is killing me. But they've taught us that that is doubt. No. Don't ask God, though. That is doubt. The Bible in verse 6 said he believed. There was no doubt. But he was human. So he said, Lord, I'm human. How many of us are honest enough to say, God, I'm human. I'm just tired. Comfort me. How shall I know? How will I know that I'm not a Christian in vain? How will I know that if I don't take this job, which will kill me, kill my Christian life, that I will still be okay? How will I know that the future will be fine? Lord, I need your... Is any Christian here honest enough to say to God, I'm really afraid? I'm really afraid, Lord. How will I know? I don't know about you. I really am tired of pseudo-Christianity. Christians that can't cry. Christians that can't complain. Christians that can't grumble. They are too holy to be angry. Meanwhile, the Bible is filled with Christians that were angry. Christians like Jonah, we've read it. I knew that was the kind of God you are. Why did you let me waste my time? You see now, you've shown me to be a false prophet before all of these people. I've read in scriptures that were Christians that were exceedingly afraid. We heard Peter was exceedingly afraid. But we have a bunch of Christians these days, they've taught us, and it's a lie, because inside, we all know it. We all know our fears. We powder our faces, and we come for prayer meeting. Meanwhile, the problem is hidden behind the powder. May the Lord allow us to be naked before Him. Until we learn. Because you see, if you can hide your trouble, you will also hide your deliverance. It's the truth. It's pride. A man that hides his trouble will likely, when it comes to pass, says, well, you know what? I just prayed and you know God is good. He always does it. You didn't tell anybody when you woke up and you said to your wife, man, I'm so afraid to face the day today. But when you know you are nothing and you are waiting on God's deliverance, when He does, you always say, I'm nothing. It's God, though. I'm nothing, no. It's God, though. May we be real. So Abraham did this. And let's see what happened. The Lord first said to him, so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer. And this is the portion of scriptures that you don't hear many of. I've been praying and wondering, Lord, what does this mean? The question is, how shall I know? What are you teaching here, Lord? The series of events. He said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. I thought about, what do I know about heifer? What do I know about turtle dove? Kini, what did we ask? What are we being told? What was the question? What is the answer? The question was, Lord, how will I know? Someone else asked, how will I know? And you made the shadow to come down 3 steps. At the temple, and then he knew. That sign, I understand. Someone has asked, how shall I know? And he told him to put his hand in his tunic, and he did. And when it came out, it was leprous. You can't forget that. I like that kind of sign. But even that person, she said, no, Lord, I'm not convinced. And he said, throw your rod on the ground. I mean, if my slippers was to become a goat, you will never forget. That's a sign. But Abraham said, "And because of time and eternity, God taught him this lesson. I was wondering, what does this portion? He said, go, do 3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old, very boring things. Do ram as well.
Meanwhile, add a turtle dove, but don't split the turtle dove. Then I like young pigeon as well. When you have, and he brought all of these things to him, and then he cut them into two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. And he did not cut the birds into two. You are going to see this as the Lord formal codified this in the law. Brother Peter, can we? And when the vultures came down on the carcass, Abraham drove. You told me to do all of these things. The question was, how will I know? This was probably midday. And the sun was setting, no answer. Just pigeon and turtle dove and heifer and boring things, you know? But the question was, how do I know? What has this got to do with hydrogen? And then, insult upon injury, even the vultures thought it was food for them. This was supposed to be a divine moment of fellowship with God. And vultures are all around. What is supposed to be your meeting place with the Lord? A place of prayer. Then the child just busts and says, "Mommy, I want food." I mean, I'm in a divine moment here. How will I know? Ordinary things, commonplace. Even vulture. Why did the Bible say he waited so long that vultures began to think he was playing? And then 20. And now when the sun was going down, a deep sea fell upon him. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. This is the opposite of the question he was asking. I'm supposed to be having a divine thing with God here. And I'm having the most ordinary thing. And of course, terror fell upon him. The Lord baptized him with the most mundane things in life. Have you ever been in deep trouble? And what you got for your trouble in prayer is further terror and a deep sleep. Well, Peter, how many times have we been praying and you and I just slept off? What's the question we're asking? What's the answer? The most mundane thing, just like your lives. The answer to our prayers, God has a plan, are the most mundane things. How shall I know you will deliver me? Just watch and pray. Just be persistent. Just stay the course. Continue to worship me. Continue to bless me. Continue to do honor and glory to my holy name. How shall I know? I'm listening to your voice. I'm listening for your voice. You're telling me to do stuff. Stay the course. Then he said to Abraham, after vulture, said, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." Does that answer the question? Was Abraham there when this happened? We're going to close now. Please shut your Bibles. We're on a very long journey, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us to stay the course. The Christian journey is a very, very mundane one. What the Lord said to Abraham here is that the Lord said to Abraham, and I think someone mentioned it. I don't know who mentioned it earlier in the, which shows the Lord's voice is speaking. Is that he has a plan. And the plan he has transcends Abraham. Abraham was asking, how will I know? And the Lord was speaking about events to happen 500 years to come. Every mundane things that seem unnecessary, that seem difficult in our lives, they are all going to converge into glory. We may not be there when that beautiful plan crystallizes, but it will happen. The Lord is saying to Abraham, I have a plan that is greater than you. Most of the time, we are occupied with the now. We are occupied with the unpleasantries. And we forget the promise. Yet the Lord was guaranteeing Abraham that this, he showed him some of the things that were to come. In all of this, he was not to inherit the land. Jesus has spoken. We started with that chapter 2, verse 9, Peter passage that says we are called forth, we're a royal priesthood. He will bring it to pass. All these events along the way are mundane events that are supposed to bring us to that plan that God has. It may not happen now. It definitely will not. We think about our events and our pains and all things happening to us, but God has a bigger plan. He says, all things work together for good. For those who love God, those who, once again, like Abraham, are the called according to his purpose. We know that the Lord has called us to a purpose to bring us to a place in Jesus Christ, to bring us to an expected end, to bring us to glory. Let us not miss this. Do not let the events, the trials of the present time make you lose sight of the plan of God. No matter what it is, the path of Abraham was tough. You can see the holy man there, grieving, stressed out, like you and I are stressed out when all of these isolated events begin to happen to us. But let's never lose touch, lose sight that God has a plan that will come to you. In his case, he began to tell them, and in this series, we're going to touch on what happened to Isaac, his son. We're going to look at God's plan in Joseph. We're going to see how God, we never use God, how God uses us, how he used his son Jesus Christ for his own purpose. Let our resolves be stilled. Be ready. Let's not get lost in the moment. Let's remind one another about the greater plan and the greater glory. May the Lord help us. So many people will trip because of current events. Don't let that happen to you. No matter what, no matter the need, God is with us. I'd like us to just, I have two passages here that I'd like to read to us. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, we should therefore be patient until the coming of the Lord. We should be like the farmer that waits from the proceeds, the good proceeds from the soil. He waits not just for the early rain, he also waits for the latter rain. You may not be in the season of your early or latter rain, but the farmer waits. And we know the end of the story of the farmer. He gets his harvest. But a farmer that quickly goes and harvests will only get premature crops. We have to wait. It's the Lord that dictates the day of the harvest. He's the God of harvest. Are you willing to wait? There's no saint in the Bible that did not go through challenge, but God always has a plan. James 5, 7. Wait. Don't be in a hurry. Stay the course. Don't change a thing. Don't change your style of worship. Don't go from mountain of fire to valley of water. Right? If you are Pentecostal, stay Pentecostal. If you are Baptist, continue to baptize. Stay the course. Be faithful. Stay the course. Don't change a thing. Don't stop praying. Be persistent. The other passage that I like us to read as we close is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says, do not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience, like Abraham, inherit the promise. We cannot inherit the promise unless we are patient, unless we have faith. You see, as I close, we live in a generation that is forever changing its methods. Oh, this one is not working. Let's try this. Praise and worship is boring. Let's bring in synchronizers and all these instruments. And we've learned over and over again that instruments do not do the worship. It's ultimately, it's a spiritual exercise. This praying is not working. Okay, let's try jumping up and down to pray. Just stay the course. God is hearing. The fact that the answer is not manifest does not mean he's not hearing the prayer. But Shiloh will come and the peace of God will come. Where are the Christians who believe in the plan of God? Where are those who have not changed? May the Lord bless us and help us. We've been praying this last quarter that we'll get deeper in Christ, that the Lord will Stephen make our spines stiff so that we'll be able to endure like Abraham. But always believe God has a plan. May we never be the part of the congregation or the generation that has since moved away from the plan of God. In Jesus' name. We'll continue next week. Father, we thank you.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. This is your method you've shown us in the life of Abraham, in the life of Isaac. How, although the tactics may change, your strategy never changes. How the master plan transcends our individual plans. How you will take us through anything to bring your plan to pass. Father, we are praying that you give to us the courage to align with your plan, not to believe a lie, to stay the course, to believe in you. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.